FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 158, recorded July 3rd. Happy July, everyone. 4th of July, everyone. 2015, I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Insane Galvatron.
Hello.
Jim Black.
Good morning, TFYLP.
Morning. Well, I guess some people are listening to this in the morning.
That's right.
Well, I mean, sometimes I'll re-download it and listen to it while I'm working, and I'll work in the middle of the night. So, yeah, I guess it would be morning. Good morning. Good morning, good afternoon, Ohio. Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And joining us as a regular tonight is Rick Alvarez.
Yay! Hey, let me know when we're on the air.
We are on the air.
Hey, listen, Don. All I see is your forehead in the video. Is that normal?
To me?
Yes.
Because if you saw any more, it would be too much awesome for you to handle.
Well, that's a great epic answer. Hey guys, thank you very much for letting me take part in the show. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun, and thanks for inviting me to be a regular contributor.
That's good. To have you on.
This is good because when Brett's not here to insult me, Rick can pick up the slack.
Oh, don't worry. So, I got plenty of insults for everyone.
We toss insults. We give information. We have fun. You know,
but don't forget, I have a Massey.
We have Massey attacks, yes. And somewhere around here, I have a Bigglesworth. He left the room. But, you know, the addition of Rick is a great value to us because of his experience with Hasbro and with FunPub, and he can give us great insight as to how things, you know, can be done, and just the official side of thinking. It's a way that it's something that a lot of fans either don't get around to thinking about or don't know how it's done. And Rick can give us some insight on that. And it's, and you know what? He's just cool to talk to.
You know, there's times on the boards, the internet just perpetuates misinformation and theories about conspiracies at Hasbro or Mattel or whatever. And I'm glad that some of my experience having worked at Hasbro and having been in the toy industry for all these many years will put to rest some of those theories and also confirm some of those conspiracy theories.
Well, I mean, a good case in point is what we were talking about in the pre-show. You know, I had a long time heard that Prowl Pants, the guy that made the BotCon 2004 exclusive Action Master Breakdown, I had heard that he had gotten sued by Hasbro and that, you know, there was some kind of fallout from that, and he just left the Phantom. We haven't heard from him in years, and that's not true.
You know, there's a difference between being sued or getting a cease or desist or simply someone saying, hey, what's up with this? As far as I know, having volunteered at BotCon 2004, or having been there, having worked with John and Carl and Pete, and having known that guy since he was a Philly guy at the time, so we would meet up every now and again. Hasbro was well aware of what the breakdown was, and I think the Hartmans even sent them one afterwards.
Well, I mean, it was straight up homage, and it was an exclusive. I mean, I don't see it as any direct competition with anything Hasbro has ever done.
No, and so. And the thing you got to remember is, I think that was a custom piece that was given away for free if you went to the breakfast event.
Yes.
So you can't hold any legal action against someone who's creating a piece of art in a limited run that they're giving away for free.
It's like a fair triple use. It's like a triple whammy, you know. It's
like, it's like if you were selling, it'd be a different story, but
even then,
you got to remember, a lot of these companies don't trademark the actual visual look of the characters.
Well, it's art. It's kind of like my posters. I take a picture of an existing toy and sell the picture. You know, I mean, it's no different than somebody going out and taking a picture of a Mustang car and selling the picture of a Mustang car. You know, Ford can't sue somebody for selling a picture of a car. You know, it would
Are
be
you sure about that?
It would be frivolous.
In the end, it's free advertising for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Hasbro has Hasbro didn't want to be that much of a jerk. They probably have on the wall somewhere at Hasbro, would Harmony Gold do this, yes or no? And then they sort of use that as a flow chart.
Well,
sorry.
I know who made that flow chart.
Well, we're going to be joined hopefully here very soon by Proto Man. He's running a little bit late. He just messaged on Facebook shortly. But tonight we're going to be talking. I know it's a little bit delayed, but we've had a lot going on the last couple weeks. Seeing as what was revealed at the Tokyo Toy Show by Takara Tomy, I kind of wanted to look at it more in depth, talk about things more in depth, and then compare what was released or what was revealed there with what was revealed at the Hasbro BotCon panel, and then we'll kind of let that segue into some predictions or suppositions, as you will, with SDCC coming up, as we know that there's always huge reveals made there. So let's kind of get right into it and talk about the Tokyo Toy Show, which happened the same weekend as BotCon a couple weekends ago. And I think the first thing that we need to talk about is Masterpiece Ironhide.
Ironhide.
And I'm going to pull up a picture here and share it. I'm going to let Greg, you haven't been on much recently, so I'm going to let you talk a little bit more and kick your thoughts off on this. And
okay,
as I pull this up,
this ought to be good.
Yeah. All right, Masterpiece Ironhide. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it are those hip panels. And supposedly those will flip around the back.
Right.
And if that's true, then I think it looks great. Again, not seeing it in person, I haven't really seen any pictures of anything for scale next to it, but I've heard it's as tall as MP10. That kind of bothers me a little, because Ironhide should be taller than all the other cars, but he should be like a head shorter than Optimus. If he really is tall as MP10, that kind of bugs me a little, because especially since they're so focusing on robot mode scale in the Masterpiece line. Not to be Debbie Downer, but everything else about it, I love the way it looks. I'm hoping it's an all-in-one transformation and the piece doesn't come off to become a sled.
Well, I think they already said that piece is not. It does,
but it's weapon storage.
Yeah.
Okay. Still, I'd rather the whole van turn into the robot. I don't like the idea of a separate piece. That's what we had. Because I've seen that sled as an accessory. And some people said that's just a weapon storage. It doesn't become a part of the van. So that's my concern. I don't care if they include a sled to put weapons in as long as it's a separate piece.
Yeah, I think
the robot Ironhide turns into the whole van.
Yeah. It's just like the Marv was in the original. It's just instead of being the Marv, it's just a weapons locker.
Okay. Well, but in the original, though, it was part of the van. Like, you had to pull Ironhide Robot and the Marv apart and then transform them.
Yeah, this is, too. It's just...
Oh, that's a bummer. That's a big disappointment to me. I want him all in one like I did Ultra Magnus.
No.
If I can't have my White Cab Optimus Prime robot with my Magnus, then why do I want the stupid sled from Ironhide?
Here's what I'm wondering about it. If that's a separate piece, can he attach to the top of it like the G1 toy did and kind of ride it?
Well, now the only picture I've seen of it is just the camper, like I'm calling it a camper shell, but the top open and his hand attachments are in a tray inside the top. Now, it's possible the top may fit on the back to fill in the back some, possibly. I haven't seen a picture of that. I would have to think they have storage for it somewhere on the robot mode if they wanted it to just not be a floating piece in subspace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sir. The one thing that bothers me, and this is as minor as you can get and sounds nitpicky, but it was the same thing with Sideswipe. The Autobot symbol needs to be outlined in white, and the red come from his body colors, not a traditional Autobot symbol. Again, that's very minor, and I'll admit that. It's just, that's something that bugs me, having a full-color Autobot symbol when it needs to be just the white outline.
Here's the thing, not all reds are the same shade. Like Sideswipe and Ironhide may be slightly different shades of red.
Right.
And the Autobot badge is supposed to be a consistent color across all characters. So even a yellow guy has the same shade of red in his Autobot symbol.
Right.
And, I mean, maybe Sideswipe was the same color as an Autobot symbol supposed to be, so it works. But if Ironhide's a different shade, he needs that colored-in symbol, so the red matches the other Autobots.
All right, I've got pulled up some images here of the Ironhide. Looks like he's going to have, like, the little back cannon, and there, as we're talking about, looks like just weapon storage.
Yeah, but it's weapon storage, but it doesn't really say if it turns into
Look
part of
the Look at all the accessories that it comes with, even the next space, too.
Oh, that's going to have to fit inside, because I can't see them making a masterpiece Ironhide, and you have some extraneous part sitting off to one side. That's got to go inside the robot.
Look at that thing with all those accessories in it. I mean, usually the way that sled incorporates into the alt mode, like on a G1, with all those weapons and hands that are being plugged in there, you're not going to be able to put the Ironhide in there with it. Well, it almost can't. I mean, let's just set all the accessories aside in order to use that as part of the van.
It could be that you put in the accessories that you want inside as the most used ones. Because there are a few that I remember him using once, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Like the back cannon. I remember him using it the one time, and that was it. So maybe you can go ahead and just put the ones you want in there, and the rest are in a baggie in the box.
Well, don't undersell these engineers. No. I mean, these guys are flipping amazing. And MP22 Ultra Magnus, the face stores in the back. You can store virtually every piece somewhere.
Hey, Ron, I'm on a different tab. Instead of looking at just the one you've got up. Okay. There's another picture showing him next to MP10 with a shot of MP10's trailer with Ironhide inside.
Can you find that picture? Can you put the link in the chat? And Doran can pull it up from that.
Okay.
What are the accessories, the two black accessories, immediately to the left of the van in the far bottom right thumbnail there?
Okay, he switched pictures, I think.
Okay, I'm still on MP Ironhide 3. Okay. It almost looks like a couple of eyes, like the G1 box art, like to put in the windshield.
No, that which one?
Amazing.
I can screen share the picture. I've got it up now if you like.
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Pull down the head and put the eyes in the windshield. That'd be great.
Present to everyone. Those listeners who are listening on the audio-only version, I know sometimes it's a little bit difficult to kind of visualize some of these things, but a lot of these images that we're talking about are easily available through Google Image Search. Mm-hmm. But we'll try to describe what we're looking at as much as possible. You know, it's just another perk of watching the show on YouTube.
Can you guys see the screen share?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That robot mode, this is the one I didn't see this one before. People are saying he's next to MP10. And I think it's a perspective thing because he's closer. He may actually be a little shorter, so that's good news. Yeah. But look at his arm. The side window of the van is on the bottom of his arm in that pose. Yeah. If you look at the van mode next to it there, so you can kind of visualize if you spin the arm around behind him and look at the chunk in the legs and all the panels, that's a fully complete van mode in the robot right there. By the time you pull the arms back, pull the legs underneath them, panel up over the rear, pull the wheels out, I mean, obviously it's going to be a little more complex than that, but there's enough robot there to feel that entire van mode.
Or if not, very close.
So the sled is a separate piece that all the destroyed pieces in. After seeing that picture there, I'm convinced.
Okay. Well, you know, it's you know, we should get a little more information over the next few weeks, as because I'm sure, like Star Saber, we'll be getting lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures.
Yeah. Well, going back to what I think Galvatron was talking about, though, about the colors and everything, I mean, I can understand being a little bit disappointed with something or other, but honestly, to a lot of it sounds a whole lot like bitching just a bitch. Because we as fans want what we want. We want it to be perfect. But we can't always be perfect. I mean, I've got Masterpiece Buzzsaw right here in my hand. And he is a masterpiece. I mean, he's fully self-contained. He's everything I would have dreamed of as a kid for a Masterpiece Buzzsaw. But I have seen people bitching because his beak doesn't open, because his head doesn't turn on a swivel. Really, I mean, what more do you want? I mean,
the fact that they can get that thing to transform into a tape and have all the accessories and all the detail that has, that's pretty good. I mean, we didn't have that 30 years ago.
I mean, the only thing I can see is that as far as color being unforgivable is where paint was not applied and it obviously should have been, or paint was applied and it didn't need to be, or it's the wrong shade. I mean, a good example would be like the classics versions of Sideswipe and Sunstreaker. It's like the clear plastic was painted over and it wasn't quite the same shade as the plastic that the sides and the rest of the robot was made out of.
You're talking about classics. Masterpiece, that hasn't been as much of a problem with the mismatched colors and paints. I mean, there was the little thing with Sideswap where the paint was a little runny because they were forced to use actual car paint instead of toy paint by Lamborghini. But, I mean, honestly, I could say every Masterpiece I have, while I could agree with a lot of people's critiques during the early picture phases, once I got the thing in hand, it was a beautiful toy. It was the best version of that character. Whatever that major flaw was, didn't seem as bad in hand. And I was extremely happy with it. Like Bumblebee, everybody talked about the forearms. But in person, you hardly notice it unless you're looking for it. And so this way with Ironhide, I can sit here and nitpick it. But ultimately, I think once I get it in hand, I'm going to be extremely satisfied because they've yet to let me down since the restart with MP10.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I can understand if we get it. And as a masterpiece, it falls far short of what we would expect from what we've come to expect from a masterpiece.
Yeah, we get an MP09 again.
Yeah, I mean, from a masterpiece. Well, before we go any farther, let's kind of do a little round table, a little mini round table with formulate what I'm trying to say here. A little round table of what we would expect from Masterpiece toys. What do you expect from a Masterpiece Transformer?
I think the I think what they're trying to go for and what they've been consistent with, except for maybe Starscream, the original Starscream, is going for a straight-up G1 animated cartoon look. And there was a lot of conversations when I was at Hasbro as, should we do our own masterpiece? And Soundwave came up at the time, and this was 3 years ago. More than three. This is like 4 years ago. And they're like, well, we can't have him turn into a box. Kids don't know what a box is. They don't know what a tape deck is. I was like, well, you can't have him turn into a car or a helicopter because then that defeats the purpose of what Masterpiece is. And some people understood that, some people didn't. And because of that, we just dropped the whole thing and decided not to do our own Hasbro Masterpiece at the time. So what I'm looking for, straight up, as close to G1 animation as possible.
Just as close, okay. As far as appearance goes, you want it to look like they just reached into the animation cell, ripped it out, and you got a physical 3D transformable version of what you're looking at on the screen.
Absolutely. And I think they've done a pretty good job of that for the most part.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. Jim, what about you?
Well, the one downside to that, though, would be in the cartoons, half the time they didn't transform in any way that made sense anyway. But yeah, I want to echo that sentiment, though, is I think that the G1 cartoon was the more iconic out of the incarnations of Generation 1 between cartoon, comic, and what have you.
Which is debatable, but I agree with you, but it is debatable.
To the general public.
And the cartoon will always be more popular because it was seen by more people.
Right, and that's where I was going with that, is because of that. I think it had the larger exposure. For instance, I originally grew up in a little burg called Paris in Illinois, and you know that is like a little dot on a map. Some maps I don't even think have it, or believe its existence. But the only place to get comic books in that town when I was a kid was a little grocery store on the corner called Bridwell's. And it was one metal magazine rack that rotated, and that was it for the comic books. It wasn't until I was in like high school I moved to Terre Haute, which is a larger city there nearby, and saw like Walden Books and Books a Million, and blew my mind, you know, at what was available. So for me, and what I had access to, the cartoon ultimately won out as far as exposure. So in terms of you know, the character's iconic appearance, I associate more heavily with that than I do, you know, the toy or the comic. For instance, like the black helmet on Generation 1 Megatron, you know, that was used in Marvel Comics. That was used in some early animation just prior to the show. But in the cartoon, he had the full silver bucket helmet and nothing else. So, I don't know.
Old Buckethead. How about you, Don?
See, for me, that's kind of difficult because, you know, I consider some stuff that other people don't consider masterpieces. Like, I would consider.
Okay, well, let's kind of narrow it down. Right now, we're talking about official
Pro
Takara Tomy masterpiece.
Yes. Okay. For me, if it makes it a masterpiece, the face has to capture the emotion, the character at its onest, I guess, if for lack of a better term,
at its G1est.
Yes, you know, it has to have a face that you can say this face, even if the body isn't quite like Bumblebee. That wasn't the exact right mold for Bumblebee as far as what they used in the cartoon, but the face was like he just stepped out of the show. You know, that's important to me. It's a transformation like we would have seen kind of like on the show, like Wheeljack. Did his arms go up and everything fold in and he fall back like that? Did Prowl, did his waist turn? His arms go up under the hood, and then he just falls, you know.
Hallmark moments in animation.
Thank you. If the toy captures those moments in time that we associate with that character, like Inferno with his arms going back and collapsing with the ladder, or in Grapple's case, the crane going back. If the toy can capture those touch tone moments, then I'll call it a masterpiece. Then I think it's worthy of being a masterpiece.
Kind of like Cup when he transforms.
Think that's more important than detail?
Like I said, see, growing up, being so much older than y'all, I never thought I would see this stuff. Because, when we started with G1, you know, this was the bomb. And then G2 came out. We had ball and socket joints. We had elbows. That was awesome.
And we had eye-bleeding colors.
Yes, especially. So,
light piping.
Yes. Exactly. So, I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious here. It's just I never thought we would get what we're getting right now. So, for me, a lot of this stuff, it's a masterpiece, but I know this stuff. I just can't explain it. It's just as long as it captures the basic look, the face is like the face I remember from the show, and if the toy – like, can you pose the toy mid-transformation and you say, hey, that's Prowl transforming? That's important to me. That's just, you know, off the top of my head. You know, I can't.
Well, that just means not faking the transformation. You're going to use actual parts on the robot, be the actual parts of the car.
Exactly. It's not like in Beast Machines, the morphing transformations of sorts. Mm-hmm. If the toy doesn't sort of fudge all that, just to, like, a panel folds up and, oh, all this became, you know, this part over here.
Well, as a kid, I can kind of relate to that, Don, because as a kid, I loved Power Master Optimus Prime when I got him. I had an original Prime, but I'd beaten it up pretty bad over the, you know, previous 3 years, mm-hmm. 3 to 4 years before Power Master came out. And I liked the fact that Power Master Prime in his small robot mode looked more like the cartoon with just the shape of the chest and everything, mm-hmm. but it bugged me that it was a fake chest. That the windshield on his chest was not the actual one. Because like you said, when you're transforming him, you have to transform him different than what you saw him transform in the cartoon.
Right.
In the cartoon, Optimus transforms where the front of the truck becomes his chest, but this thing, you got to turn it around, and that always bugged me. It's something I've learned to accept in modern toys nowadays to get a more accurate cartoon look. You can't, you know, they got laws of physics they have to obey. But on the Masterpiece, I can see that. It kind of bothers me that Masterpiece Prime uses a different grill for his abdomen. I mean, I can kind of see some of the other parts moving around, but the grill of the truck, the same size and shape, and it's in the same spot. It just folds down, and then another one comes down and replaces it. It's like,
It's a slightly different.
Yeah, one's got like two bars in the grill versus the other one's just got one. But still, it's like I could live with either the truck mode having a slightly inaccurate grill or the robot mode. It always bugged me that those traded places when they were right there.
With that, you are getting the most accurate representation of both modes possible.
Yes.
But to Don's point, though, I like the idea that it replicates the actual G1 transformation as much as possible, and that seemed unnecessary to me. That's just me, my personal opinion.
Is that what you expect from Masterpieces?
It's not what I expect, because like I said, from the very first one, they got it wrong. It was my disappointment from the beginning, and they don't seem to be doing that as often anymore.
I guess for me, basically, it's a lot of small little things that if I notice it. The facial expression, the transformation, the look in both modes. If these intrinsic bullet points all match up, then I feel it's worthy of being called a masterpiece. But like I said, I never thought we would get to this point where we would have these all sort of toys. So it's really just.
Well, I agree.
I'm lucky to be alive to get them.
I agree with you, Don. I mean, the Masterpiece line is, as a Generation 1 fan and growing up with the Generation 1 toys and watching the cartoon so much as a kid. I mean, I know I've beat the story to death on this show.
That's random.
My printer just kicked on. but the Generation 1 cartoon... For those of you, I apologize for this noise. I do not know why it's doing that randomly right now. Stop. Can we stop?
Your house is
you try hitting it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm
unplugging it.
Well, I just hit the power button and it does nothing.
How hard did you hit it?
The goggles, they do nothing.
It'll go away. Ignore it, it'll go away.
But anyway, as a kid, long story short, I was a very sick little kid. I had heart disease, and I was stuck inside a lot, and I wasn't able to do a whole lot of things like a lot of kids did, like get out and play ball, and ride bikes and do a lot of things. So I was stuck inside, and that's one of the reasons why Transformers endears to me so much, even this many years later, because as a child, I had a lot of bad, sad moments, and Transformers gave me something not only diversionary, but something positive in my life. And even as an adult, I face adult problems and everything, but then I think back to those times as a child, and I'm reminded how happy I was as a child because of Transformers. And I take that same vision that I had as a child upon this brand, and then I apply it to my life as an adult. And sometimes, well, it's like a lot of fans say that their hobby is an escape. And to me, my hobby is an escape from the rigors of life. You know, I mean, Insane Galvatron knows what it's like. I drive a semi for a living, and it's a very stressful job, you know, because, you know, you're not only having to deal with other people, but ever-changing weather conditions and timelines or time schedules, and it's just a lot of factors, and you get home and you're just beat to death and from many different ways. And, you know, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll just pick up a toy and I'll convert it a few times, and I'm reminded of myself as a sick little kid, and I feel a little bit better because I remember that happiness that those toys brought to me then. Now, bringing it back to the masterpiece, I have a high standard whenever it comes to the animation representation in toy form, because these characters, all the characters that appeared in the Generation 1 cartoon in some way, shape, or form are very important to me. You know, they have a lot of sentimental value, and whenever I get a toy that is labeled as a masterpiece, I have an expectation of that toy, because if it's labeled a masterpiece, that means that it is the ultimate version of in toy form of a character that I saw on the screen, and I want it to look like it did, like Rick said, you know, like it was just reached in to the animation model and ripped out and put into toy form. But I also want it to be posable. I want it to be accurate as possible to the animation model, and I want the vehicle form. I've come to expect from what we've gotten so far, I want the vehicle form to look like a real vehicle, or at least like the vehicle that it portrayed on the cartoon. Some of them, for example, Ultra Magnus, I don't think I've seen any car carriers that had trailers that looked just like Ultra Magnus's. However, you know, his
truck. You could never make a cartoon accurate Magnus using a realistic car carrier.
No.
But remember, this was the far off, far flung future of 2005.
Yes. On the flip side, if they were to say make a masterpiece Blur, there is no car that looks just like Blur in car mode. But I would expect a masterpiece version of Blur to have that style of representation. You know, if he's as animation accurate in robot mode, then he needs to be as animation accurate in vehicle mode.
Well, I want to end them on that, because I agree with you a lot, Daron, that to me the alt mode being realistic looking is important.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like the 86 and on guys that were based on either futuristic or Cybertronian modes, I mean, you have to look, like, for example, look at Red Alert, Rodimus. The cartoon.
Rodimus Prime.
Well, Red Alert, for example, was a Lamborghini. But if you look at Red Alert in the cartoon, you know, when he started in car mode, it was like it didn't look anything like a Lamborghini. And I look at the 86 cars kind of the same way. They're like that cartoonized version of some futuristic-looking vehicle. I wouldn't mind seeing them. This is one of my big – I really like the way Rodimus came out in his car mode for that reason. They kind of made the cartoon model and then made it look a little realistic with the rubber tires and the treads. And they tried to make it look as much like what that car would have actually looked like in real life, yes, versus being cartoon.
Exactly.
And that's what I would like to see, like with the guys like Blur and Cup, if they ever do those. Because don't just give us the animation model because it looked too cartoony. I think they kind of did that with Magnus's trailer. They made the truck mode realistic because it's all the same detail as Prime's. But the trailer was a little too cartoon accurate and not made realistic enough, for at least for what I would like to have seen. And so that kind of worries me if we ever do get a Cup or a Blur or even a Springer, is that they go a little too cartoon with it. It's not going to look as good on the shelf with the other masterpieces, because I like that realistic look to the alt mode.
For when you look at that. What is your opinion then of Masterpiece Star Saber?
I don't have him in hand yet.
Masterpiece Star Saber, having just gotten him a couple weeks ago, and having seen the Victory series, Masterpiece Star Saber also falls into exactly what I said. He falls into like the season 3 Blur type thing. He is accurate in robot modes, and he is accurate in his vehicle forms, even though there's no real vehicle that looks like that. But like in St. Gallagher said,
it looks like a real jet.
Well, sort of.
It could pass for one. It don't look like an exact copy of a real one.
Well, it falls into what you said, though. They took an animation vehicle and added some details to keep it close to the animation model, but make it look as if it could exist in the real world. Yeah.
Well, basically, Sky Saber is nothing but Skyborn Ultra Magnus. It's about the exact same thing if you look at it. So, I mean, you know, if Ultra Magnus didn't exactly exist.
Ironically, I have them on the shelf next to each other.
Yeah. So, since Magnus doesn't really exist as the real world counterpart, and Star Saber is about the exact same thing as far as concept, it's not really a problem. I mean, it's just, you know, what they thought it would look like at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here.
So, should we segue that into Masterpiece Optimus Primal then?
Exactly. That I got distracted by a comment on here. Michael Swift, as he's watching, he needs to hop his butt in here. Especially since this, what we're getting ready to discuss, will be right down his alley.
Nudge, wait, say no more.
Masterpiece Beast Convoy, a.k.a. Optimus Primal, was also unveiled by Takara Tomy at the Tokyo Toy Show. Any of you all have a screen cap of him pulled up?
Let me put it in a separate window so it'll be easier to share.
He is another example of what we were talking about with, say, Blur and Masterpiece Star Saber. You know, you're not going to get a real gorilla that looks like this guy, but...
See, this is where what we were just talking about, I think they dropped the ball here. I think it's great he's animation accurate, but gorillas really exist. You know, for me, a Masterpiece Beast Wars character would be, you would turn from the Optimus Primal robot mode into a gorilla that maybe even has like actual fur of some sort, something to actually make it look like a real gorilla.
Do you realize how hard that would be?
Well, here's something I pitched while I was at Hasbro. So I pitched the Masterpiece Optimus Primal, right? But when I pitched him, I thought, all right, well, he's got to have that fleshy type of feel, that like that soft pliable rubber in his hands and his face. And if he had like a vintage G.I. Joe, of course the one G.I. Joe I have handy, he doesn't have it, but like a vintage fuzzhead G.I. Joe, his body would be covered in that fur. So it felt like he was like a real furry creature. And I always thought, well, you know what, they're never going to make one anyway. And sure enough, 5 years later, here we are.
Yeah.
Well, just pick all the parts that are exposed gorilla and have them kind of fur or something glued on, and then transform exactly the same way this thing's going to transform.
He looks like a koosh ball.
Well, remember, what we're looking at is just a print of a 3D model. It's not that is in no way indicative of what the toy will actually look like. This is just a representation to say, hey, we're making this character. I don't think we've seen anything in regards to what this toy will look like.
So it may end up having fur.
Not even the robot mode, really.
No, I don't even think that's the actual model for the toy. I think that's just like, I think it's just a mock-up. I think they just printed out a 3D file, glued it together, painted it, and that's what they're showing, just a representation of
playing devil's advocate. How much of this, because this is a little bit different than what we've seen previously from Takara Tomy and even Hasbro, you know, whenever, even if it's just a initial announcement of a character, we usually don't see a 3D render of it. We usually see a printed prototype of some shape or form. Do you think this is some way, in a way to cut off any independent manufacturers at the pass that might be considering going the Beast Wars route with a Masterpiece level toy?
I don't think so. Were you asking me, actually?
No,
I don't think so. I think this was done the way it was announced, because it so happened to fall this weekend was BotCon weekend as well. So I think that's why we're kind of seeing a bit of a rushed, very, very early on announcement. The third party guys are going to do what they're going to do. And I can only think of one example ever of getting ahead of them and having them drop a product. That Masterpiece Soundwave. That was really, really nice. And Drift. We announced Drift at BotCon, was it 2012? And all we showed was like a couple of triangles. That's basically what we showed. Because we had heard that there was going to be a third-party Drift. So that was our way of getting ahead of it.
And now Masterpiece Ironhide is shown, and the third party company, their very first release was going to be a Masterpiece Ironhide. I think they pretty much just said, well, let's back to the drawing board, because I mean, what's the point in releasing one if there's going to be an official one that's way better? Of course,
that's what I was going to say, is they wouldn't even need to go to this extent to nip third party in the bud. If they thought they were going to do it, they wouldn't have to go to all this trouble. They could just announce it.
Exactly.
Because once fans know there's an official one coming, why spend three times the price on a third party that may have questionable quality?
The only way I can see a third party going ahead and producing, let's say that Masterpiece Soundwave that was shown years ago, let's say they go ahead and produce that. Now that we've already got a Masterpiece Soundwave and Sound Blaster that are really awesome that has been released, but let's say they say, you know, that was a great toy, but we can do it better. And, you know, there's already
Hot Rod.
The Hot Rod, the Rodimus.
Yeah. The DX9 carry, I'm going to pick that up because I'm really disappointed with my Masterpiece Rodimus. But I want to see an actual Hot Rod. An actual Hot Rod now to go with it. I need the one that turns to the sports car, because that's the one I love to see.
There is one thing that when all this stuff about Primal came up, I thought about this. If we're going into the era, if next year is going to be the Masterpiece Beast Wars, which it needs to be, Beast Wars is basically, if you stop and think about it, it is responsible for probably saving the line from extinction.
Mm-hmm. Are you that bored?
it was a long day at my company, yes, as you can guess. Yes. 4th of July weekend, working retail. Slowest time of the year. But But the thing about Beast Wars, it's like animated to a degree. You either love Beast Wars or you don't like it for various reasons. There's a few more shades of gray in the middle than animated has, because I think animated is probably the most divisive love or hate dichotomy that there is. But if next year is going to be a Beast Wars themed year, which I think is awesome, then these third parties will say, okay, there's going to be people that have absolutely no desire to buy Beast Wars masterpieces.
So, I honestly I don't think it's going to be a Beast Wars themed year. I think they're making one item.
Yes.
And they're going to continue with their bread and butter, which is Generation One. I think next year will. I think next year the chances of seeing a Sunstreaker or a Mirage will be very good.
Yeah. Well, just having a Primal and no Megatron. At the very least, no Megatron.
But remember, Optimus, a convoy will always sell 5-1 to a Megatron.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Keep in mind, too, next year is the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars. So it's possible they may attempt a Megatron.
Yeah. But they also missed the 15th anniversary of
Robots. Well, I'm with Rick. I don't really see anything more beyond the Optimus Primal Beast Convoy. Now, if it does really well, it might parlay into a few more releases. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Megatron, maybe a Rhinox. I don't know.
Masterpiece Skylight.
Yeah.
Can we do a quick survey? If they were to do a Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron, do you want the original or do you want the Transmetal?
Transmetal.
Transmetal. I would want the original.
What about Transmetal 2?
The
Dragon.
Or Alligator. Sure.
Well, it's 2-1 everything right now. We got two guys saying Transmetal, so.
Yeah.
I think Tomy now knows what they're going
to
do.
Well, I just have one thing to say. If they were to release any version of Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron, and all I got to say is, yes.
Well, I got a quick question for you guys. When we talk about Masterpiece, I'm not trying to derail it, just real quick. When we talk about Masterpieces, I brought this up a few weeks ago when this came up originally. Do you consider the Takara, including Leader Class Bumblebee and Leader Class Starscream from the movie, as Masterpieces, even though they are Masterpieces in name, and the engineering and the look does look like the characters from the movies? But do you really consider them Masterpieces or not?
Well,
I think I would.
I personally do, because I think those were targeted directly for their market, and I don't think anyone over here really saw anyone import those items. The only one I was kind of interested in the Starscream just because he didn't have all the tribal tattoos.
Exactly.
But I really think that was done for their market. And if they ever do a Masterpiece version off a movie, I think obviously the first one would be Optimus.
Well, that the Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class, I mean, that's where the other one was. The Starscream was just a Leader Class toy imported over. They did the Buster Prime, which would be the equivalent of their Masterpiece, because it was that toy with better paint, actual chrome. Just so the truck mode looked even better. Mm. I mean, they kind of already got their Masterpiece movie Optimus in the form of Buster Prime.
Yeah.
Which I never got, by the way, and I love that toy. Yeah. Takara, if you ever want to sell it as a movie Masterpiece, you know, repackage the Buster, I will buy it.
Well, speaking of Sunstreaker, Bad Cube just announced their next figure.
Yeah, that was
Sunstreaker.
Earlier today. I noticed it on Twitter. I was with Sidecoder of Captured Prey, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. And also check out Mega Toy Fan for all your vintage toy needs. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. Got your little plugs in there. But I was out with Sidecoder of Captured Prey today whenever I saw the announcement of Bad Cube's Sunstreaker. And he was actually surprised as a retailer because he hadn't seen any solicitations on it. And seeing as how Sunstreaker is outside of their norm, what Bad Cube's been doing with the smaller, the smaller mini bots. And now they're going to the full size robots.
War Dog is pretty damn big.
You're breaking up really bad, Don.
Sorry. Their Warpath.
AT&T fail.
Well, I'll pick up word because I see Don is frozen on my screen too. But I got War Dog, and I got him not for my Masterpiece shelf. I got him for
Rick is breaking.
For my generation shelf, because I always like the idea of him being really large and animated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he fits the scale of the cartoon. He was always the size of the Autobot cars. Even though he was a mini-bot, he was as big as like Sideswiper, Sunstreak, or whoever he's standing next to. And so that's the way they scaled it. I think it works. And it hits that nice little sweet spot of realistic tank mode and turning that into as close as you can get to the cartoon of Warpath. Because if you look at Warpath's cartoon model, there's no way you'd get a realistic tank out of that without doing what Bad Cube did. So Bad Cube is one of the few third-party companies that I think are hitting that sweet spot of making a Masterpiece-style figure that actually has the Masterpiece look and feel.
I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, look at their brawn. A lot of people give it a lot of flack, but, I mean, it's a realistic-looking truck, which I'm not sure exactly what kind of truck it is, but it looks like it could be a real truck. It turns into a brawn. It looks like he stepped out of the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Same with their Backlund. I absolutely love that Backlund. I wish I had $90 right now to go ahead and pick one up. But speaking of Bad Cube, anybody have any thoughts on the Insecticons that they're doing? They're doing a 3-pack that are in like animation style colors, and then individually they're going to be releasing them to look more like the toys, you know, with the clear chests, die cast metal, things like that. Any thoughts on those? Rick, go ahead.
Well, I had a thought, because this is one of those cases where, like, we were talking about the realistic vehicle modes, but how do you do a realistic vehicle mode of a mechanical bug? Because they didn't look like real bugs, like the Beast Wars type characters. And that's where I actually prefer their toy accurate ones versus the cartoon accurate colors, just because, you know, the mechanical bugs is going to replicate what the toy looked like in person with the chrome wings, the see-through chests, and then turn into the cartoon accurate robot as much as possible.
I have an idea that what I want to do with it. I want to get both. I want the cartoon accurate ones to be the clones, Insecticon clones, and then the individual releases to be like the main guys, like Shrapnel, Kickback, and Bombshell.
Aren't there two other companies doing Insecticons as well?
Yeah, there's
Fans Toys that do Quake Wave. I think they're doing a set.
Well,
is it Mocket Toys doing it too?
Well, there has been a set of deluxe Insecticons already done Christmas. Well,
that was from the Fans. With the Masterpiece style. I thought there were three companies working on it at once.
Yeah, I think there's a comparison shot somewhere of all the different.
You want to know my thought on those? If you're money bags and you can afford it, get one of each variety. So you'll get two of the Bad Cube ones because you get two varieties, and then one each of the other sets. Because they cloned themselves, just pick the three you like the best for robot mode, put the rest in bug mode, and set them on the shelf.
A plague of Insecticons.
Yeah.
You've never had Insecticons. I don't know how well this is going to work, but let's see if you guys can see, because I've got my man cave. I'm in the process of setting it up. I'm trying to aim, because I got all my Hasbro research on top of those Detolfs. If you see right there, you can see on the end, you got the C-Cons, and then there's a blaster and a sound wave. And then see those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 boxes that are all identical? Those are Insecticon reissues. Yeah. I have a plague of Insecticons even in the G1 form. And that's not counting the TFC versions I have, as well as the new Platinum set.
Well, it's good to see another TF troop builder besides myself.
Oh, if I could get lower on that shelf with one of this other cabinet, I've got three Scourges on the shelf to be a Scourge and two sweeps, and then my Target Master Scourge on the next shelf.
I think I have close to 30 deluxe generation Scourges. I have around 10 Cyclonus.
Well, wow. I'm just doing the G1s. I'm not even talking about classics. Yeah. These are the G1s.
Yeah, I've got a couple of G1 Scourge Cyclonus too. But then I think for deluxe Viacons, I'm well over 120.
Holy shit.
See, I'm not really. I'm just G1. I'm troop building G1s, which is what most people call me nuts. Because I also have multiple Gnaws, you know, for my Sharktacons. I got two Rekdars, one in motorcycle mode and one in robot mode. They're modified with the legs swapped around so you could actually sit on and ride the other one.
Yeah. No, it's
Well, I want to get back on to what we're talking about. We've kind of derailed quite a bit here. I do want to tell people that if you are watching live or if you're listening to us on the downloadable version later on, you can interact with us via Twitter at TFYLP, as well as Facebook. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook discussion group. Facebook page is mainly just reposts from the website and a few updates, but you can go to our Facebook discussion group, which can be linked directly to from tftalk.net, and go on there and click on the Facebook button, and it'll take you to our group, and we talk about things on there, share news, insult each other, just whatever, and if you have any comments on what we're talking about on the show or any questions, feel free to ask them on there, and If we deem them relevant, we'll mention them on the show. And even if they're not, sometimes we might make fun of you. So back to the Tokyo Toy Show reveals, Beast Convoy. You know, we talked about what we would would expect from Masterpiece. Just the overall knee-jerk reaction. Let's go with how do you feel about them going non-G1 with their first Masterpiece release that wasn't a G1 character. Rick, let's hear from you.
You know what? I am a Beast Wars fanatic. So anyone can see that. I got the Predacon symbol tattooed. So this is a Masterpiece figure I've been waiting for since the very first Masterpiece ever was announced. So I am all for Beast Wars Masterpiece. Not so much looking forward to a Unicron trilogy or even an RID or a Prime or the current stuff they're making. Beast Wars G1, G2 repaints all the way, no Shattered Glass.
I think Shattered Glass has been done to death. That's my opinion, but
yeah, no Masterpiece Shattered Glass at least.
Don, what about you? What's your initial knee-jerk reactions about Beast Convoy Masterpiece?
I'm glad. I'm glad we're getting away from G1. Not that I don't like G1. I love G1 as much as the next person, but it's like we sort of mentioned on RFC last week that in the Combiner Wars, we love Combiner Wars, but we're getting a little tired of these same molds coming out of Autobot cars in like multiple waves. So I think personally I'm just kind of G1'd out. At least 84, 85 pre-Headmaster, pre-Target Master, pre-Power Master.
Well, if Insane Galvatron's was telling us before, if Titan Wars goes the way of Power Masters and things of that, yeah. I'm hoping for some more Headmaster homages.
Well, so our listeners don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping for Rebirth era Headmaster, Headmaster's Master Force, Rebirth American. That's the era I want us to start moving towards. But if Beast Wars, with that being the anniversary, that's fine too. At one point I do want to see Masterpiece Headmaster RC, Masterpiece Fire Convoy, but I'll take an Optimus Primal. I will put one on the shelf and I will dance with glee. And you won't have to watch that and be burned into your mind for the rest of your lives.
Yeah,
I don't know. Probably a lot of hits on YouTube. People laughing.
Michael Swift just commented on Facebook. He's listening in. My thoughts as a Beast Wars fan is that there's no way they will do anything beyond Primal next year. It is sad because 20 years is big for Beast Wars. I really would love to get a Megatron to go with him. It would make me very happy, and I would I can forgive them not making a bigger deal. Yeah. Jim, what's your thoughts on Optimus Primal?
Well, honestly, anything other than ecstatic would be an understatement. I am so happy to see this because we have over 30 years worth of the franchise of the brand now, and longer if you count Diet Corona Microman. So, you know, that's been what they've fallen back to time and again for Masterpiece. You've got, you know, Optimus, you've got Sideswipe, you've got, you know, all these others, Starscream, Thundercracker. And as much time as has passed over the decades, where I don't think they've realized until possibly just recently that, you know, the franchise is old enough now where that for things like Masterpiece and whatnot, they need to try to stay relevant and maintain that connection with those younger fans who are now themselves adults and collectors, who for themselves, Beast Wars was their generation one. Beast Machines may have even been their generation one. The first RID.
See, that, I mean, the mere thought makes Headmaster Don cough.
I know.
I'm sorry. The only thing worse than that is thinking that Armada and Energon was someone's generation one. That's just
There was some gold in those lines. You have to admit.
Yes.
And you go back and you watch the old G1 cartoon. Sometimes that is terrible to sit through. It's like the old Thundercats or Command cartoons. We perceive them as being great when we think back about them, but sit down and like actually watch them now again, it's like kind of torturous.
There's a few stinkers. There's a few stinkers, but there's some good episodes. I still enjoy the creation of the Dinobots episodes. I kind of snooze through More Than Meets the Eye, though. It's kind of boring by today's standards. Mm-hmm. You know, which is it's the opening three-parter. You want to love it, but it's really hard to sit through.
Yeah.
But I love Dark Awakening though. That's still great. The movie's still great.
Yeah.
Now what about you? What about you, Greg? What do you think about Masterpiece Beast Convoy?
My first knee-jerk reaction was, yes, a Masterpiece I can skip. Not that I don't appreciate Beast Wars. I love the show. At one point, I had the entire Beast Wars show cast collected in plastic form before selling off in 2008, got rid of all the Beast Wars stuff. I just don't collect Beast Wars anymore. I can appreciate it. I'm happy for the people who want it. But my wallet will be saying, thank you. I can put that money towards Masterpiece Ratchet or whatever comes next.
Hmm. Michael Swift further added that he would make his girlfriend squeal if they ever made a Masterpiece. Oh, he would squeal like a little girl. I'm sorry. that would be an entirely different color.
What kind of Transformers are we making now?
Yeah, the bullet train.
Dildo drawing.
Much more than meets the eye.
No, but if they made a Masterpiece Pterosaur, you know, he would squeal like a little girl. And
well, I've got a good friend of mine at Wendy Morris. He's not on any of the forms. He wants a Masterpiece Break.
The Penguin? That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Break and Stampy.
Masterpiece Break and Stampy would be like in a little two-pack, like the cassette tour.
Wow. But okay. Now, we've talked about Ironhide and Masterpiece Beast Convoy. Those were the two biggest reveals, I believe, at Tokyo Toy Show. But we can also talk about the Titan-class Devastator from Takara Tomy. Significantly different, in my opinion.
More paint apps.
Much more than
More articulation for the robots. They actually added elbows to Scrapper. As you can see, I have my Unite Warriors, you know, Titan class Devastator here in hand. Oh no, wait, this is Giant. My bad. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. It's prices have gone up as of today. I think maybe yesterday, maybe a couple pre-orders went up. Prices got adjusted. I think today. I think BBTS went up first at $225. And then they adjusted their prices, and everybody else went up with the correct prices. I think Capture Prey's got, what, $215?
I think.
Since that's our sponsor, I'll plug Capture Prey. So, you're looking at $150 for Devastator is the retail, plus tax if you buy them in the store. In Kentucky it's 6%, so that's another $9. So we're looking at $160 if you find them at the local store. to only jump up another $50 to get the Takara one with the better paint and the most importantly the better articulation.
And it's a no-brainer for me. And a different pistols. Combiner head.
It's a head that you can go back and forth between visor and eyes. So to me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, we'll spend more than $50 on an upgrade kit for a combiner. Why not spend that to get it upgraded from the retailer or factory?
And see, Tomy knows that. They know they're going to export a certain amount to their collectors overseas in the UK and North America. So they do those changes. They do those specific things in mind without telling Hasbro or mentioning it to them. It's why a lot of their paint apps are also different, because they know a certain amount of collectors will always choose the Takara Tomy version over the Hasbro version. They just can't survive based off sales in Japan, which is basically what they have. They pretty much only have the rights to distribute in Japan. So they know they need to make their product XYZ amount different to import to collectors over here. And with such a high dollar item, I'm surprised that they didn't do more to change it to get more people over here to buy it.
Well, for me, the Takara one is the masterpiece Devastator, because it's got what I want. The vehicle modes maybe aren't super realistic. It's kind of fails a little bit there, but it's so cartoon accurate in the robot mode, the combined mode, the colors, that and the size especially. I'm sitting it on my masterpiece shelf.
Now, see, I think it's great. I think I would absolutely count it as a masterpiece item. However, I'm going to stick with the Hasbro version because I want that upgrade set that comes with the Prowl head from the combo. Because
I'm hoping they're the same colors.
IDW.
I'm hoping that the Hasbro Takara Devastator for the same color of green, or if not, that they release that set in both colors, because I want that. The only thing I want to know is the cab foot. I just want the cab foot for the Mixmaster.
See, I'm a big IDW fan, so I love those little extra parts that tell part of the story from those comics. I think those little details, those go a really long way with me.
I love the look of the Devastator from the U.S. Release. Even though it doesn't have a whole lot of paint apps like the Japanese version, I do want to get the Japanese version. I want to upgrade to that, but I'm still considering getting the American version just to customize down the road.
Well, I'm getting both. We talked about this earlier, Ron, on
yeah.
the phone.
Yeah.
I'm getting both is I don't want to wait 6 months to experience this toy.
Yes.
A lot can happen in 6 months. I could be dead in 6 months.
Exactly.
Or I could be divorced and bankrupt in 6 months and I can't afford anything. You know, so I'm going to get the Hasbro one when it comes out just so I can get it soon.
That's a lot of worst-case scenarios.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that escalated quickly.
Here's another thing, too, that I'm looking at. And I was going back a few episodes. I know I mentioned that I wanted the Unite Warriors version of Superion. And the more once I got Superion completed, I got the Hasbro version of Slingshot. I don't want to call him Quickslinger. I'll call him Slingshot because that's essentially who he is. But now that I have him together as Superion, I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know what? He looks great. I'm happy with this guy. I don't want the Takara one. So I was just going to say, you know, I'm not going to order the Unite Warriors one. Well, I go over and I'm helping out with Capture Prey today, and he just got in the Unite Warriors version of Superion, and big beautiful box. And then I open it up because it's got a pretty window flap, and I look in there, and it's like the aerial bots flying on the cartoon. And there, I mean, they are night and day different. I mean, you got the lightning bolts on Skydive's wings. The faux, you know how like on Slingshot, on Generation 1 Slingshot, how the tail folds up and the nose cone folds up and you stick them together. Well, that little bar that goes back to the tail part, they mimic that by just placing a single black stripe right back to the tail fan. And it was like gorgeous. And then on I can't remember if it was Slingshot or Firefly. I think it was Slingshot, the orange canopy Might have even been on, but it's two-tone. You got dark orange, and then the lines are done in lighter orange to kind of bring it out some more. Nice. And just the minute details, the fists are individually painted, and I'm like, this thing is like super. And I'm like, all right, I'm sold. I'm going to get it. And then you think about Unite Warriors Defensor. They're actually getting a proper groove.
If I only get one United Warriors toy besides Devastator, it'll be the Defensor just for the groove. Although I really hope Hasbro has plans to bring it over.
I think eventually it'll come over one way or the other, whether it's the Collector's Club, because you know they got to be eyeing up that piece. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be some kind of exclusive where you get all five or all six guys.
But if the club brings it over,
groove called something else.
Well, I want it in groove colors. It's got to be groove. If they bring it over in Junkion colors and call it your random Junkion number six, it's not going to be the same. I can't put it on my Defensor.
I still stand by the fact that I think we're going to get a I'm kind of blowing my load before we get to the speculations.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, for the speculations of SDCC. But I still think we're going to get the groove mold, but I think it's going to be Afterburner as part of Computron.
I agree.
I still think we're going to get it.
I'm still hoping for G2 repaints of all these guys.
Yeah, of course.
Groove is US release, so I don't have to buy the expensive Takara version. I don't want to buy the Takara exclusive to one retailer in Japan, Takara. Just give me a groove like you did with Wild Rider and Slingshot. Just bring over groove, a whole case of groove, so I can buy that.
Now, I mean, I do like the Legends version of groove because he fits... He fits in well scale-wise, and I know scale is a relative term whenever you talk about Transformers, but he fits in so well with Combiner Wars Defensor. When you set him next to all the other vehicles, I mean, the helicopter's a bit small. However, he looks good. It's just having him as a chess piece. I know you showed last week you can kind of attach him to Rook and make mm-hmm. him look like he's a faux leg, but I want a proper groove.
We know about Victorion with the it's going to be the hotspot mold with the motorcycle, and since the wheels end up on the chest, I figure I'll use that mold as the chest piece on Victorion to make it look a little more female. So for Defensor, it goes on Rook until I can get an actual Rook.
I was talking of groove. You know, we just have to keep in mind that we'll find this out next week whether Hasbro got its groove back or not.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. Actually, it's just. Everything is all speculation right now, which is why I'm glad Rick is now part of the team. Like you said, Duren, he has all the behind-the-scenes knowledge so he can point out what the most likely scenario is based on past experience. So, I mean, but I want this group.
All right, let me tell you what I think is going to happen at San Diego Comic-Con. I don't – because what happened at BotCon was very different this year than any year previous. Pretty much everything they showed and announced then showed up in the dealer room, and all those images showed up online. So they didn't show, they didn't do anything special for people who just attended, saying, hey, this is just for you guys here. You're going to see things that no one else is going to see for a couple months.
They allowed
They didn't do that this time. So I think at San Diego Comic-Con, you're going to see a lot of the repeat stuff and with very minimal – new things. I think the things that they'll show that are new will be epic and awesome, but I would say there's going to be maybe five new things.
Yeah. Because BotCon, one of the worst things you can do is get me on my soapbox about BotCon reveals versus San Diego reveals. That's a real hot button issue with me that I try not to get on my soapbox and preach about. But this year, news-wise, it felt like we were being thrown some softballs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what we saw was great. But it felt like it was a very light news.
Honestly, reveal. Compared to what we saw from Takara Tomy at the Tokyo Toy Show, the Combiner Wars stuff just seemed, outside of Skylinx, in my opinion, everything was kind of assumed that we were going to get anyway. Bruticus, you know, Shockwave. I mean, it's nice that we're getting a Shockwave with him. And I'm not in any way downplaying what Hasbro revealed there. I mean, everything I saw, I'm still happy and giddy over. But I, as an adult collector, I look at Tokyo Toy Show and I'm like, that's better news, because I am first and foremost a Masterpiece collector now. And I...
But that's not Hasbro product.
It's not Hasbro product. But, I mean, as a Transformer fan, and I'm collecting Transformers characters, official Transformer characters, and this is an officially released toy, then I'm like... My feelings tend to gravitate more toward what Takara Tomy really has unveiled. And we still haven't even talked about the three retools for the Fembots in Nightshade and the other girls.
Nightbird, rather,
yeah. Which is amazing.
Black Arachnia.
Yeah, Black Arachnia, that well, let's go ahead and get on to those real quick before I go on, you know, because that was the other, I guess you could consider it a big reveal at the Tokyo Toy Show. Who is it? Nightbird. Who was the other ones? Black Arachnia.
Or no.
And Slipstream.
Slipstream. I mean, the Black Arachnia retool from the animated Black Arachnia is, I mean, absolutely dead on, for, in my opinion. I mean, they just got it looking right. I'm on board for that, and I'm on board for the Nightbird. I mean, even though the Nightbird is essentially just a retool of RC, I mean, the head, it looks right. And it comes with the little black size. You know, it just, yes. Give me more.
Nice mandibles.
You know, I've heard a lot of people criticizing that because they know it was for the robot mode to have the, you know, to be built like a stripper, like the way they did her animation model in the show. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find a picture real quick so I can screen share it, but I'm not having much luck tonight. But there's actually some spiders. I think it's the females when they get pregnant or when their mandibles, those things that are made up of their mandibles, things hanging off their face, will swell up like that when they're carrying something. It's usually like only temporary, like either when they're in heat, like they're ready to breed, or when they're pregnant. But they will have those big swollen mandibles. So that's somewhat based on real spiders. But I'm not sure exactly what that part is called to do the Google search off the top of my head.
And thank you for the National Geographic.
Well, it's just because I heard so many fans complaining that they appreciate the robot mode, but they think the spider mode looks dumb because those fangs look so unrealistic. But some spiders actually do look that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just saw the pitch for Charlotte's Web 3.
Oh, it's a spider. Burn it with fire. But what are you guys' thoughts on the three Fembots revealed at the show? Let's go with you, Don, since Nightbird is a retool of RC.
Yeah, I want it, but I'm on the fence about Slipstream, but the other one.
Black Arachnia.
Yeah, those two, I'm kind of on the fence on because I had the animated Black Arachnia and I just did not like the figure. I know there's been a significant retooling on it to make it Beast Wars Black Arachnia, which I do kind of want, and I do want the Nightbird, but there's so much stuff coming out in that quarter: Road Rage, Trax, Stomp, which should be the last fans toys Dinobot. They're just not as important to me because I had those molds originally and I had the RC, And maybe it's just me, but I really don't want her as anybody else but her. Maybe once I see in-hand pictures or reviews, it'll change my mind. But right now, I just want...
Thing. Mm-hmm. I think just because it's you, you know.
Well, it's just, I just want her as her. I mean, she's been repainted to everybody else for years.
Dawn, yeah. you won't be cheating on RC to buy her mold as a different character. Right.
Yeah. And you know the club's going to repaint her a million and one ways.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
There'll probably be a Troop Builder RC set.
We need a BotCon RC as a repaint of this new Black Arachnia mold.
Ooh. Shattered Glass RC.
There'll be a Shattered Glass. Yeah. There'll be Paradrone Medic. There's going to be...
Now, I would buy the Paradrone Medic.
Tiger Force RC. I would buy Tiger Force RC,
Ninja Force RC, Eco Force RC. She could be painted like Gaia from Captain Planet.
And then they're going to take RC, put a new head on it, and it'll be Botanica.
I would be okay with that a little bit.
I'm maybe. Actually okay with that, too.
Unofficial plant mode. No.
Is that just her laying on her face, like face plants?
Well, it's pre-Beast Machines era, you know.
Okay, so it's Dawn of Futures Past Botanica.
Yeah, it's a Dawn of Futures Past thing.
It works.
Brian Savage, if you're watching, that's a free idea.
Right, yeah. He's not watching, dude.
he might listen to the cage.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. A real spider with the enlarged things on the front, whatever you want to call them.
Burning with fire.
So there you go. It's realistic. You see, the RC burning is realistic fire. To a spider.
Okay, all right. I will say this.
It's a smash toy.
It's just a toy.
Yes, okay. But it's realistic. I like my realism and my toys. I'm sorry.
But you're not even going to buy it.
I've got it pre-ordered from HLJ. Are you kidding?
Okay, I thought you were just...
For RC, I'll get that. For Black Arachnia. Just because we never had a good toy of her.
Wow. Right, now, what do you think, comparing... let's go back to what we started off on. Comparing the Hasbro reveals at BotCon and the Tokyo Toy Show reveals... from Takara Tomy, who do you think won out? That's not the way I want to put it. It's not.
That's a bias because, like yourself, you only collect Masterpiece.
Yes.
Versus, yeah, that's.
Well, I'm digging the Combiner Wars line too. So I have to say, more excited. I was more excited by the BotCon reveals because we'd heard rumors of Ironhide. And so it was nice to actually see the images of what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really breathtaking because there were some pretty credible rumors that was coming. And the fact that they only announced Ironhide, they didn't announce Ratchet and any other Masterpiece behind that.
But Ratchet's got to come, though, from that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but as far as we'd heard the rumors about the, I don't know, had it been announced or just rumors of the Devastator that they were going to upgrade the parts. It was like, it was nice to see all that stuff, but I didn't feel like any of it was actual news. Like, I wasn't surprised by any of it. Whereas with the Hasbro panel, it was nice to see Brood because we had rumors of that, but like the Sky Rain and all this, that was a complete surprise to me. And that was the only thing that caught me off guard. Actually, something I didn't know was coming. And of course, not to mention the Titan War stuff, which we're going to get to later, that's accidentally revealed. That stuff all came out of BotCon. That was stuff we didn't know. So it carried a little more excitement with it because of the newness. Everything else we heard, even from Tokyo, we kind of already knew was coming.
Yeah. As far as the Devastator, right quick, I just wanted to mention, I don't think we covered this, but on TFW in the thread about the Ironhide and the Primal and all that, one of the updates says that it appears in addition to like the elbows and things that are on the Takara Tomy version, that Bone Crusher and possibly Scavenger's knees may have also been modified as well to have a hinge and swivel joint as opposed to Hasbro's ball joint.
I'd heard that was also they put the knee lower on the leg because they thought it looked funnier, like the Hasbro one was too high.
Yeah.
So they redesigned it so the knee could be lower.
They're chalking it up to speculation right now, but they said check back is that they're going to try to get a better look. So that'll be something to keep an eye on.
Where's my masterpiece Galvatron? That's what I want.
Well, I want that too.
Yes. Well, the thing, I guess Tokyo Toy Show for me, it didn't steal the thunder of the Combiner Wars reveals at BotCon, but I guess I was just extremely excited about it as a Generation 1 fan and as a Masterpiece collector. Because we're not just getting another car, and also knowing how both companies are with retools and repaints. I mean, it's common sense and common knowledge that you get the most mileage that you can out of a mold, or out of a design. And the Ironhide mold is straight up, can paint it white and red and put a light bar on it with a different head. You have Ratchet. It's not that far off. It's not that
Ratchet
hard.
Ratchet has the same accessories. Black for Diaclone.
Yeah. There's three uses right there for the same general mold.
Make it green, movie Ratchet.
I have that e-hobby one. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It was really exciting for me. And if I had to pick what was more exciting, the Tokyo Toy Show or the BotCon reveals, I was more excited by the Tokyo Toy Show. But that's not to say that what was unveiled at BotCon was unimportant or unexciting. I said last week, the Skylinks, I am over the moon over. Yes. I mean, Skylinks is like one of my favorite characters. And I have just been itching for years for that character to be updated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And not only would you have the Skylinks, but like even though we knew Bruticus was coming, the surprises in the alt modes, like the fact that Rook was remolded into Swindle as opposed to him being a repaint of Off-Road. And Brawl being a new mold. That was exciting, too, for me.
Well, it was kind of a meme picture earlier today. But I saw that, and I'm like, you know what? I would flip and buy that. Skylinks, Combiner War Skylinks. Skywinks, yeah. Skylinks being retooled and redecoed into the Griffin from Aerial Assault.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned that at BotCon, and it's like, I've been waiting for a third party to do that Griffin just forever, and then I was saying to the guys, I wish someone would do that and it had a robot mode in Fortress Maximus color. You could call him Fortress Maximal. I'm serious. Hey, Doran, I put a picture in the link. I don't know if you want to show it or not. This was a custom that someone sent me. I'm not sure if it's Photoshop custom or what, but that's what I hope to eventually get this new Black Arachnid mold as.
Yeah, that's what I was suggesting a minute ago the club could do. Bring over the new Black Arachnid as RC.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was an original BotCon exclusive. That actually looks really good.
Yeah, I've had that picture for years. A friend of mine just said, "Hey, I saw this on the internet. Sent it to me." I don't know if it's a photo. I'm not sure if it's a digital kit bash. If it's an actual model that they've done, but yeah, that's what I would like to see that Black Arachnid done as RC.
Mm-hmm. That looks really cool.
Yeah, I would buy that.
Hey, check the picture to the left, Duran. Not the Green Lantern picture, but the other picture.
Click the little arrow on the far left side of the picture.
Wrong window, my bad.
Sorry.
There we go.
Yeah.
All
right.
Much better.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, with these coming out, with her coming out as Nightbirds, you can recreate the comic if you want to kill Daniel, which I'm sure a lot of people want to.
Wow.
For those of you who are listening on the audio version, what we're looking at here on the screen is the animated Black Arachnia done up as BotCon RC. It's basically RC colors, white, pink, with some, what color is that? Like a
all team? Spark blue.
All spark blue.
RC from 2001, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is beautiful. It really is.
And that really makes that mold, you know, something more than what it was in animated. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not so, well.
Well, they actually did a good job making it look like the original Beast Wars Black right now.
Exactly. So anyway, that's just what I hope to see that mold done up as eventually, just because it looks really good in those colors.
You know, that's Michael Swift brings up a great point in the discussion group on Facebook. Seeing as how it's very common for molds to be reused as different characters or different versions of a character. You know, like we just said, Masterpiece Ironhide can be easily redone into Ratchet, Beast Convoy, Optimus Primal, Burning Beast Convoy. What other variations are we going to get of that mold, or could we get of that mold?
Lucky Draw Grape Ape.
Grape Ape.
No, I mean, what are the options for retools? Well,
what was Optimus Primal, the original toy, ever remolded or repainted into? You had that Universe version that had this one of the same name, but looked like more like a Rodimus Primal.
Oh, Rodimus Primal, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah. I mean, what else could you do with it? Let's just make up a new character. I mean, any famous gorillas you try to make it look like are just going to look like Optimus Primal. You know, like King Kong.
They could do Nemesis Primal, and he could be black and red.
Do him in G1 Optimus Prime colors.
There you go.
That way it's Trunk Monkey.
Remember, you also have those Takara exclusives.
The Burning Convoy.
Like the clear Optimus. Clear Optimus. You have the Burning Convoy. You have the Gold Shining Convoy as well.
And Optimus Minor? Well, I was going to say, if you really want to stretch your imagination, maybe you could do them as Baboon. Even though that's a different kind of simian.
Your Beast Box. Maybe.
Mm.
Okay. Come on, we got a purple masterpiece.
But then you get into like, all right, well, who do you turn Star Saber into? So not every figure.
John Wayne Saber.
Necessarily.
Yeah. So basically it's the exact same colors in a different box.
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah. Okay, let's shift gears here and go into speculation mode before we wrap up. SDCC is coming up. I know Rick said that he doesn't expect any earth-shattering news to come out of...
No. I do. I think it'll be epic what we hear. I just don't think it'll be that much more than what we heard at BotCon. I think it'll maybe be 4 or 5 items.
Do you think that that they've saved Computron for SDCC?
I do.
Most likely. I think Computron, Fort Max. Yes.
Power Rasher Prime.
Because, I mean, honestly, Computron wouldn't be much more than like 5 retools. I mean, you got the Brawl mold that could easily be Nose Cone. The Unite Warriors Groove that could easily be retooled into Afterburner. One of the Stunicons, most likely, I would say Dead End as Lightspeed. You could, I guess, make a new mold for Strafe.
Or use one of the Jets.
But
if they're going to turn Blast Off from a shuttle to a jet, then Strafe from a two nose to a single nose.
I want to say Air Raid's wing style would lend itself very well to a Strafe. Just change the fuselage and canopy up front to be a dual nose cone. I think that would work.
The thing is, do you think we would actually get a new scatter shot, or do you think they would just?
I think it'd be a retool of a Slingshot. Silver Ball.
Silver Ball. Yeah. Because if you look at those legs, somebody pointed out online. If you look at the knees and the legs and Silverbolt, they do look a lot like Scattershot.
Yeah, and the transformation scheme is a bit similar. All you'd have to do is like one extra instead of folding the nose cone back, just have one extra joint where it could like fold up to have that cannon stick up on his back. You know, like the original Scattershot.
Have a full cord.
Yeah. So I mean, there's basically four, possibly five retools to make Computron, And honestly, if they just do the one retool one new mold like they did with Bruticus for Strafe, I think it'd be great. What's this you're sharing,
Greg? Well, this was again, I listen to a lot of other podcasts as well, driving a truck. I get a lot of time behind the wheel. And one of the other guys, from a source supposedly credible but wants to remain anonymous, when this picture first came up, this was the line art at BotCon, the stuff we think we're going to see at SDCC. A lot of people were looking at this picture and seeing this is obviously Blaster's tape deck mode. There are other pictures of Blaster's robot mode, and it looks like a head that could be a headmaster turns to a little blaster. And then off to the left here of this picture, you see, because I guess my mouse on the wrong way, you can see, but on the left side in the middle, you see what looks like a base mode. Now, people have been speculating that for some reason Blaster has a base mode, because there is a line going across there from one to the other. But according to this source, we see this here at Headmasters, they're going to reintroduce that the Titan Wars concept is going to be somehow related to the Masters concepts, and that there will be a Power Master Optimus Prime. And if that guy is legitimate, if it's not a he tell me, then I think what we're seeing here, this actually has nothing to do with Blaster. They just put Power Master Ops base mode in here. Because if you look at it, it's got the panels on the sides. I mean, it looks like Power Master Ops base mode.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like it.
Just so below it, look at the head just below it. It's just the sculpt of the helmet alone is almost identical to the structure of Power Master's helmet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that when we first saw the picture, but it was the way everything's tied together with the Blaster. Everybody else says Blaster, I just kind of went with the flow. But after their podcast went up today and I listened.
On the right, I definitely see Blaster there.
See, there's like a little line connecting the two. That's what people thought. There was like a connection between these drawings.
Because like remember with the buzzsaw, the Legends buzzsaw that was released, that was unveiled at BotCon, someone asked, it just seemed to be disjointed. You know, it's like, oh, hey, here's buzzsaw. Somebody asked one of the people at the Hasbro booth, and they said, don't worry, he's going to make a lot more sense a few months down the road.
Mm-hmm. Where you see Blaster, you know you're going to see Soundwave.
Yes.
No. I'm excited about the Power Master Optimus. If that rumor is true,
What about the Astro Train?
Power Master Optimus will overshadow everything else as far as I'm concerned.
I know.
As a kid.
It's all fine and dandy, but what I'm saying, though, is what about the Astro Train that we've seen the line art for? What do you think? Do you think it's Astro Train, or do you think it'll be something else?
It'll be a Titan class Astro Train that you can put your Devastator inside
and recreate. Oh my God! just one box would take up the entire aisle.
You know what I say about that, Don? In that case, I'll say it's survival of the fittest.
Nobody'd fall on an uncharismatic boar like you.
Hey,
I'm full of uncharismatic.
Nobody calls me uncharismatic.
Let's kick tailgate. What did he do?
I just had a quick thought as far as the Titan Wars and the resurgence of the Headmaster gimmick. Blaster on the line art, that's said to be a Headmaster. Is that correct?
From the other images, yes, it looked like it would be.
And if they follow through and do a Soundwave like I'm thinking that they will, and it's the Headmaster as well, that lends itself to the Japanese Headmasters episode where they were both destroyed battling each other, and all that was left was Soundwave's head and what was left of Blaster. So do you suppose we could get a Twin Cast and a Sound Blaster out of these as well?
Possibly.
They may be hobby exclusives, since those are more. Besides, though, they did do the shattered glass versions of the G1 toys that don't. I don't think they did very well.
I have a question that's kind of related to the Twin Cast Sound Blaster type thing. What has been Hasbro's stance in the past, and what do you think their stance on it is now that they've got a new batch of people in there on bringing over original Japanese characters and basically introducing them to the U.S. market as new characters like Star Saber. You know, I mean, Star Saber has been homaged a little bit in past lines.
Well, I think right now they're really focusing on their partnership and taking the lead from IDW as far as design wise. I don't think there's really an Utaku there, which is Japanese for fanboy, basically, to really mention those type of characters over there or really make an argument for those type of characters. The reason Sound Blaster showed up in the War for Cybertron line is because I had pitched doing a limited run of several characters in different colors. And they said, well, if we're going to do it in a different color, we'll just make it a different character. And I'm like, well, that kind of defeats the whole purpose of it. Also in that pitch was taking that deluxe class Bomber Megatron and releasing it in like a gunmetal gray color, like make 5,000 units of it. And that was the idea that I was trying to create. Like, let's make some chase variants out there to get people talking and make the hunt a little more fun for people.
I am so glad they shot you down on that, because I would want to hunt you down and shoot you if you had the figures
yeah,
I want.
Yeah,
that chase
well, if you look at what Marvel, was doing at the time, there was a guy there named David Vonner who was in charge of Marvel, and he would often contact the factories and say, hey, for the next 10,000 Spider-Mans, flip them upside down, or take the Vision and make the base clear, or take Vision and make them in transparent green. So I was trying to get that way of thinking in the brand, and the only success I found was in getting Sound Blaster released over here.
He was short packed in the case.
He was,
but he's still pretty easy to find.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think there's necessarily a fanboy working there behind the scenes, especially with the brand team being so small, and being primarily of made up of people who come from outside of Hasbro as opposed to people who have been there for years and have grown up with the brand, sort of say. I think it'll be very rare to see characters like Star Saber or Leo Kaiser or Road Cesar show up.
Do you think that it would never happen, though? Do you think that
I'll never say never. Never say never. I mean, look at this Devastator we're getting. Never say never.
Well, okay, I've got the Blaster I'm screen sharing here, a couple of diagrams where you can see a side view of Blaster. You can see from the other diagram here, the speaker on the legs. You see his head, a little dot going across, what looks like Blaster's head, dot going down to a robot mode, looks like a small Blaster. Then from the side, with the face on the back. And if I scroll over the next picture, you get kind of more of the same.
A Headmaster, yes.
Headmaster, yeah. Blaster.
Well,
it's weird. Well, it makes me think, because the line is called Titan Wars, and I'm not real certain, I don't follow Japanese anime, but isn't there an anime series like called Attack on Titan or something?
Yeah,
Look at this, we have this little Blaster-looking character here, turns to a head for a larger Blaster, almost kind of like your Japanese Jaeger concept, where you've got the giant robot piloted by the smaller robot. What if Titan Wars is something along that lines of where Blaster
actually,
I
think the best analogy between Pacific Rim and Transformers would be like a Brain Master.
But the concept of a, you know, like the larger thing here that we're seeing isn't actually Blaster. It's just a giant Titan type mech that Blaster turns into a head for to control because he needs to get larger for whatever the battle is.
Either that or maybe it's a toy representation of size mass displacement.
Yeah, I was thinking of the way to work in like Titan Wars. Okay, it's going to be a war. Yeah.
Can you scroll back to that last picture that you just showed?
Yeah, go to the side.
What you got to keep in mind is that not every figure in Combiner Wars is a combiner. I think it's just a brand new title.
Well, look at Megatron and Ultra Magnus and Thundercracker. None of those are combiners. So.
Okay, guys, this could be just me kind of freaking out here, but pay attention to Blaster's back. Who does that resemble?
Shockwave.
Exactly. You don't suppose?
Shockwave and Blaster in the same figure?
Just turn him around?
Yeah.
If you also notice if Blaster has a compartment there, which I'm assuming he does, do you think that PDA shape would fit inside that?
Yeah, see, I'm thinking my thoughts on this blaster is he's a leader class figure. That way he's big enough to have a good little headmaster, and his chest compartment will be big enough for that little Legends class buzzsaw type size thing to fit in.
Oh, well, that buzzsaw looked kind of big. Ace.
Well, we saw it transformed, didn't we? I mean, was...
Yeah, but I mean, it was the size of a...
Well, if you make a leader class figure, I mean, it's going to have okay. There's the Astro Train. We'll get to that here in a moment. But if you have a leader class figure, you're figuring that chest compartment is going to be at least 3.5 to 4 inches wide.
Yeah.
Also, it may be a situation where that buzzsaw doesn't necessarily fit in the chest where the chest can close all the way. It might be a situation where you put it in and part of it's just sticking out.
And more of the chest could open. More of the chest could open than just that little door we're used to. I mean, he could, like, his whole, all the way down to his hips could open up, and then it slides in.
Yeah.
Kind of like the fall of Cybertron.
Well, if you look at that, I mean, we're just looking at line art, and this is just supposition, but from the tape deck there, directly down the center of the torso, down to the crotch area, it looks as though that could be some sort of hinge down through there, an outward hinge. So, I mean, it's just pure speculation at this point, but I mean, we're picking apart line art. I mean,
yeah.
Take it.
Well, that was the
point
of the segment. You said to speculate. So
that's what we're doing. That's what I see. Let's move on to the Astro Train here.
Real quick, I just wanted to say something, Rick. What he was saying about putting in buzzsaw and having them part of them stick out, it just gave me a crazy idea. What was one thing that was always chaotic about cassette tape players? Is a lot of the times the cassette would get stuck and sometimes the tape would get eaten on the inside. That would be an amazing mode for buzzsaw. If there was a way to like have a panel
tape
or something
strung out.
Yeah, a panel or something flip out. That would be like the tape getting eaten by the cassette gears.
I'm not sure I follow.
Yeah,
you never on a walk.
Yeah, but do kids today really understand what that is?
No,
they don't know the struggle.
At the end of the day, it's still a toy line for kids.
Yeah, they don't know the struggle of a cassette tape and a pencil.
Well, they're getting a boombox anyway, so.
Yeah. All right. Now, Astro Train. The only thing I have to say about this is that head.
I don't think it's Astro Train, guys.
I don't think that's Astro Train's head.
Skylynx.
It's definitely not Astro Train's head.
Well, look at the head there. It's obviously
the headmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about the Headmaster gimmick. I think this, like the blaster, I think it's going to, they're going to go with the play pattern of these Titan characters. Titan toys can be piloted by any of the smaller characters in the line, so you can switch the heads around.
That's,
I think that's going to be the play
head
gimmick they're going for.
That is.
The Power Master Prime head? Yeah, it could be.
Okay.
But here's who I think the character is. I don't know if this is well, go ahead and talk myself while I try to get this screen share changed.
Overlord?
Well, I was going to say it. No. Galaxy Shuttle.
Sorry.
Pull up a picture of Galaxy Shuttle and compare it to that diagram. It looks more like Galaxy Shuttle than it does Astro Train to me, which would make more sense for a Titan.
Holy.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about a character that's obscure in Japanese anime. That.
Yep.
Well, but kids are
a very obscure character to
yeah,
many American consumers who.
Yeah. That's a crappy picture.
Don't really know
who
that character is. I mean, that's.
Yeah,
we don't have to necessarily know the character.
It's a stretch.
It's just a space
shuttle. I don't believe it was called Galaxy Shuttle at all.
Y'all overlapping.
I could see it because Galaxy Shuttle is more the standard white shuttle deco, whereas Astro Train would be more of a purple and gray.
I could see this actually being as like another mode for Skylynx that we haven't seen yet.
Or it could be Skyfire. It could be, who knows?
Honestly, if you look at this too, and again, this is line art. I don't know if this is just shins or if where the legs go down into the upper or to the lower legs. Does it look like that? Those are like combiner type ports, or do you think that's just shin lines?
I'm not sure.
You know, the more I look at this, the more I think that this is
a combiner.
No, the more I look at this, the more I think it is an Astro Train, just with
the
Power Master Prime head.
Or Armada Jetfire. Huh?
No.
Come on.
Potentially. I mean, I see a lot of places where, like, the train wheels could be. I see the backpack between the tail fins right behind his
on
head.
On the left, or on the side of the left leg. Are those tank treads?
Those do look like tank treads.
But while the train had
what
those
look like to me are like the inside of a shuttle detail, like a cargo hold.
It could be. Yeah. Well, and the back of the heel kind of looks like the front. I don't know what it's
called.
Looks
like a cowcatcher back there.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking on a train.
But as long as they come with an Astro Train style head, so you can pretend the Headmaster gimmick doesn't exist.
And if you look at the arms, it looks like they're like right where the arms are. There could be like little details of like train windows. Yeah, right there where the mouse with the cursor is. Yeah. Yeah, you move the cursor down.
Yeah, I see that.
Train windows.
Yeah.
Awfully small train windows, but.
I see this as the torso maybe raising up. The legs kind of doing a 180. Go back 1 minute.
Well, I was looking.
The legs kind of doing a 180. Remove the head. Fold up the wings, and there you got a train.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like the original.
I agree. Train. I think that's train. I think that's Space Choo Choo.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Express.
Space Choo Choo.
Let's go to the next image here. I believe Fort Max.
Yeah, this one here, pretty much everybody's figured out what this is. A lot of people I've heard speculating it's a Fort or a Metroplex remold. It would have to be a pretty extensive one. The proportions are different. If you look in like from the knee down, the shin length in proportion to the rest of the body, it's shorter.
Because
Metroplex is so long.
Before you go any further, let's go to the man who helped get Metroplex out here. He's sitting right here. Yeah. Rick, what do you think about Metroplex as Fort Max? I mean, from this image. And who's echoing?
Sounds like somebody's unplugged their headset.
All right, well.
That might be me. Hang on.
All right. I think if it's a remold, it's a very extensive remold. Looking by the forearms and the shins, those could possibly be from Metroplex. But if you're going to do a remold that's that extensive, you might as well just make a whole new character.
I think it is, especially looking at the back area there. I mean, it looks like it has a totally different transformation.
It looks like the legs split open just like the Metroplex does. But I would say this is probably a whole new figure.
I mean, Fortress Maximus is an iconic enough character that would demand a Titan class figure. I mean, seeing as how for years and years and years, Fort Max was the biggest Transformer of all time. I mean, it would be fitting for him to get a Titan class figure.
Maybe he just shares parts. Maybe we're looking at a Prime RC versus Generations Chromia type remold here, you know, which is even beyond the Springer Sandstorm most people like to reference, where it's like you use half the same parts, some of the same inner parts and the basic transformation geometry, but then a lot of new stuff.
Because
this is the first time I've really compared it to my Metroplex sitting next to me, and like I'm seeing those lower legs like on the side, the grooves really split is the same, the knee is the same, but the crotch and the top of the hips are different. The chest is completely different because you've got your two components that match G1 Fort Max.
Yeah, but you know what?
No way.
Those forearms are exactly the same because I'm looking at my Metroplex right now.
Yeah, so it's like they've used the same forearms but different shoulders. You know, the same lower legs with different fronts on them. The knees and thighs are
it's like it's like his whole his torso is entirely new, but everything like the arms and the lower arms and the legs are the same.
Yeah, so I would say the forearms the back of the legs,
the knees,
and maybe even the crotch are taken from Metroplex, and everything else
might be completely different detailing. I'm sitting here holding mine. Like he's got, if you look at Fort Max, he's got the circle where in the original Fort Max was the little crank. I'm looking at Metroplex, which you can't see because I'm screen sharing and holding it up, but his cross doesn't have that circle.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Now, one thing.
It's just reusing some parts. Kind of like the Chromia. The Chromia uses a lot of parts from RC, but Prime RC, but there's a lot of new parts.
Don, what was it you was wanting to say?
One thing we had talked about last week on RSC was we were kind of worried that we might not be seeing G2 Devastators because they may have already gotten their money back out of this mold between the original, the San Diego, and the Titan version for Japan.
I don't think the Titan version for Japan is even factored into it.
Right.
Yeah, and so, then they don't make money off the San Diego Comic-Con toys at all.
Right. Well, I mean, we were just sort of speculating there in the post show. And I was just saying that if Hasbro has, and Tomy has, made their money back, at least on this Metroplex mold, between the San Diego, between the Japanese, between the Hasbro Asia version, and the U.S. version, if those four versions have made enough money, then if what y'all are saying is correct, I bought Utopia. I did not buy the Metroplex. If it's more of a torso thing, they may have redone the torso, and that still would be cheaper using the other existing parts.
They're making a whole new toy.
Making a whole new thing.
Well,
it would always be cheaper, but...
I'm saying that's why they just did a torso swap, because this figure is basically paid for itself, and so they can do...
I've also got to consider the additional molding for the Headmaster gimmicks, too.
Right. Yeah, to keep the cost of this figure down, use as many existing parts as you can, because the factory tooling works... It takes multiple molds to make a toy, especially one that large. There's no one piece of steel tooling.
I think the original G1 Fortress Maximus was 60 different molds, if I remember correctly.
So, if they have to reuse 7 different toolings from Metroplex, that's 7 new toolings they don't have to cut for Fort Max. That's saving costs. From a business perspective, it's really smart.
Exactly. And I just brought that up because Rick had said, if you're going to remold that much, make a new figure. But it's also possible that if Metroplex is paid for itself with the multiple uses, that's the best version. That's the best way to get Fortress Maximus. I just wanted to bring that up.
Mm-hmm. I just had a thought. What you guys were saying about Devastator, with the Comic-Con and the cartoon and all that. I just happen to think we're stuck in the frame of mind of Titan class box set, but what if for a G2 yellow or maybe even orange for the heck of it recolor, what if they were to venture into the world of splitting that set up into separate Voyager releases?
We
never considered that. If we were to go
yeah, but would they all hit the same price point? That's the thing. When you have that long arm, you have that Mixmaster versus Scrapper and Bone Crusher, like long haul, do they all hit the same price point? That's the thing. And they all don't fit into the same box, which creates a logistics issue when you're talking about shipping out different waves
maybe they could bump long haul up to a liter or bring back the ultra precise class.
It's possible, but it is a logistic nightmare from their point of view.
The toy is designed as a whole. I mean, it's meant to be Devastator. Yes. Even if they release a G2 set, it'd be different if you're talking about splitting it up and doing repaints, doing a quick mix out of Mixmaster and doing a scoop out of Scrapper and a landfill out of long haul, and you're going to just do the individual figure. That'd be one thing. But if you're releasing it as a variation of Devastator, you got to have to release all 6, so it might as well be as a gift pack.
Yeah, that's probably the best bet.
Maybe leader class 2-packs.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I want to see from San Diego is, again, the Computron, if he'll be part of Combiner Wars or part of Titan Wars. Like, as y'all said, Megatron is not a Combiner War, but he's part of the brand, overall brand umbrella. I hope we'll find out if these G2 Devastators are going to exist, and if so, where they're going to land as exclusives. So I do hope we find out about that. I do hope we find out more about these Titan Wars. I do want to see if, and this is more a peripheral, I'm not a big G.I. Joe fan, but with them having a new brand manager for G.I. Joe and with the popularity of the Transformers G.I. Joe comic with IDW, I'm hoping we'll have see. Well, I'm hoping we'll see some of maybe some G.I. Joe Transformer, if not crawl, maybe G.I. Joe figures in Transformer box in vehicle boxes. I doubt we'll see that, but I hope we'll see a G.I. Joe presence there for the G.I. Joe fans. But I got a feeling they'll be using some kind of springboard for Transformers to pull that success that that comic is having onto the new G.I. Joe relaunch. So I hope we see that.
As much of a fan of IDW as I am, I just think that comic is boring as shit.
Sorry, I don't read it, but I'm just saying everyone I know that reads Transformers, that reads that book, is loving it. So I'm just hoping that if there's any life in there, it can be transferred to the new G.I. Joe launch if we see that at San Diego.
That was always the topic of discussion at Hasbro, that you're using one brand to propel another, and as much as the Transformers guys seem to be up for doing that stuff while I was there, it was the G.I. Joe guys who didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's probably an issue of pride. You know, they wanted their brand to stand on its own. They didn't want to have to feel like they were riding the coattails.
What do you think about Viper? How did that come about?
Oh, that's just because John Warden, who used to be the G.I. Joe designer, got moved to Transformers, and he just said, hey, this looks like a Rattler, so we got to make it a Viper.
Yeah. And the last thing that I want to say that I'll expect is completely out of left field, but since Hasbro has trademarked Mass Names, Visionary Names, and G.I. Joe is relaunching, I'm hoping we're going to see a uniform size class for figures across all three boards so they can relaunch all three brands and we get Visionaries and Mass again.
I would say those are probably trademark more for entertainment purposes to try and create film properties around rather than start with a toy line and then launch a film property.
I wish for her for over 20 years. I can wish for Visionaries. I got 20 years left of me for Visionaries, I hope.
Right. If they were to bring those back honestly, I would like to see them, if nothing else, at least G.I. Joe and Mask in particular, to be able to interconnect. Mask. Like maybe Mask would be like a sub-unit, kind of like Slaughter's Marauders, of the larger G.I. Joe force. Mask could be like a special ops something. Maybe tie in with Transformers, I don't know.
Yeah. And in my little headcanon, after Prime ended, Miko, Jack, and Raph were transferred to the Mask Division.
Well, all right, I'll share something with you. So there is that one episode of Prime where we work in the Mask reference where Optimus gets his.
Yeah.
So we worked that in there, and Aaron and I had always talked about, like, we were doing some work on Mask at the time, and the base in Mask is called Boulder Hill.
Right.
And at the end of Season 2 of Prime, Decepticons blow up the base that the Autobots were living in, and basically reduce it nothing to a hill of boulders. So we always talked about having Ernie Hudson's character, Fowler, move over and become the head of Mask and use that base as the base as a new Boulder Hill.
And you always have a hidden reference that nobody got.
Yeah,
shame on then, you, folks.
And then you would have the scraped up Autobot symbol on the floor, and it would still kind of look like the Autobot symbol, but it's all scraped up.
Yeah, it would be scraped up to resemble the Mask symbol.
We had talked about that, and we had talked about a couple other ideas about things like that. So that's how you got that Mask reference in Transformers Prime.
Well, I appreciate it. So.
There was a bigger idea at the time, and unfortunately, that doesn't necessarily exist anymore. Yeah. All that work kind of got dumped in the trash.
That's sad. Well, before we wrap up, I want to quick ask Plasticon, that's graced us with his presence. How's the sales going, by the way?
Not too bad. I've been kind of selling here and there. Almost every day I've had a bite, but I've still got a lot more toys that need to be unloaded. I literally have, like, none of my Power Masters or Headmasters have even, nobody's asked. I've got them. Buy them. Those are the ones you guys should be after. So.
Well, wait till SDCC and we get the news we're expecting. And they'll be popular.
And by the
again.
Way, custom Electro.
Ah, I love it. It looks awesome.
I know. It's just like the sickest thing ever.
I know. And it won't crumble
when
in
I
your
saw
hand.
This mold. When I saw this mold, I was well, like, it, that's Electro. Well, that's it, not off-road.
Well,
that's
Electro.
Then.
If it doesn't crumble in your hand, it's not Electro.
Duran, as soon as you say that, there's the
cover. You should mail me that toy so I can put it in my collection. Ah.
You know what, Rick? I will purchase another one of these, and I will make one and send it to you, free of charge.
That's awesome. Sweet. While you're at it, buy me another Metroplex and paint it as Metro Titan. Because yes. That should have been the San Diego Comic Con exclusive.
Or you
I would do that.
Pitched,
I mean,
and they're like, who the hell is Metro
actually,
Titan?
Actually, I mean, honestly, Rick, if I had the money, I would buy another one and do that. But if you have one, send it to me, and I'll do it, and I'll ship it back to you, and then you'll have it.
Or you could get Dystopia.
Incidentally, Plasticon.
Yeah, I'd rather buy Dystopia to be honest with you. But thank
you. Incidentally, you're wearing the shirt that I bought my girlfriend at BotCon.
Dude, it's a Hello Kitty version of Soundwave. I mean, it says all minions on it. It's the coolest thing ever. It's a T-shirt
that was like a
limited run. Yes. So it's awesome.
And she was ecstatic when I gave it to her. And she has worn it 3 times since I gave it to her. I have an awesome girl.
But anyway, if this is any indication of what's going to end up happening to the entire line, just saying. Mm-hmm. With me, anyway.
I'd love to see
this guy's next. It's going to happen.
Real quick,
I wanted to say this real quick, Duran. Okay. There is a guy that actually did a custom of this in G2 colors. It was not done as well as I will do it. It was brush painted. It wasn't sprayed. I'm like, why aren't you radical painting or at least trying to airbrush or something? That's what you need to do if you're going to be doing these as a custom. Mm-hmm. They'll look better.
Yeah, you can't get smooth paint with a brush.
Anyway, give me the wheel back to you. Sorry.
That's all right. Well, my question was for you before we wrap. Okay. Our talk tonight has been the Tokyo Toy Show and the Hasbro reveals from BotCon. If you could pick your favorite announcement out of the whole kit and caboodle, what would be your number one announcement?
Skylynx.
Did you level Rashford's Ironhide?
I think the Skylynx is honestly the best thing that's come out of that because we haven't gotten a decent looking version of that.
I've heard more buzz.
This thing works for so many different things. I'm sorry, but those out there that don't understand, that can be easily remolded.
I have heard more buzz about Skylynx, honestly, me personally. I don't know if this is true in the general fandom, but I have heard more buzz about that one Skylynx figure that was released or that was announced a couple weeks ago than any of the other things. That includes Bruticus and everything. Skylynx. I think it's because it was so, like Rick said, so out of left field. We weren't expecting it. And whenever we got it, we as fans are elated. And
well, plus it's the first Skylynx since the original.
Well, we didn't know.
Not really. There was that one in Beastcon. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't really Skylynx. That was Skylynx's name on another toy.
Well, we didn't know we wanted it until we saw it. Then we knew we wanted it.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I'm really hoping there's some engineering in there where the shuttle actually separates, but if it doesn't, I hope there's a way it actually works out. As a Lynx mode, I was told there is one. My thing is I'm looking at this like, how can they retool that into the Leozac? Seriously.
Again, it's a character that they don't know who that is. They don't know who that is.
It's going to happen, though. Because any
it may happen from Tony, but they don't know who that character is.
Who, Lyokaiser?
Yeah, I mean, I tried telling them, if you're going to do a San Diego, this is, all right, well, I was still there, Metroplex was coming up, and I said, all right, you're going to do Metroplex as a Comic-Con exclusive, you got to do them as Metro Titan. It's the only way we'll ever get Metro Titan released. And they looked at me like I'm stupid. They're like, who the hell is Metro Titan? A Decepticon? No, we're not doing that. So, again, those characters like Galaxy Shuttle, Star Saber, Diatlas,
Grandis,
Sonic Bomber, they don't know those guys.
So, Rick, I guess me asking for Brave repaints of these is out of the question.
What the hell is Brave? No, they don't. That stuff's going to come from the club or Takara. Not from the big
game. I know. I'm just kidding.
Do you think there is a possibility that Takara will do a Lyle Kaiser using that?
I think it's very possible, yeah. Absolutely.
I just wish they would release an Encore version, unless the molds are just completely gone.
Without the GPS on Killmonger?
The thing is, like, look at all the KO version that came out that's undersized. You know, somebody has that mold somewhere where they de-sized it or done something. And to be honest, how hard is it to reverse engineer some of those?
Oh, you mean the version with Double Dealer's body?
Yeah, that version. And honestly, that was like a retool or something. That was just some left field thing that some KO company threw together.
It was the downsized, like Hellbat, I think was his name.
Yeah. I have one. Yeah, I have one, but it's actually almost in G1, like, combiner scale. It's not, like, overly large like the original, but it's actually in scale with, like, your Devastator and stuff, which is nice. But there is a stupid undersized one that is not really worth having.
Hey, guys, I just pulled up an image. I'm not going to share it, but we were talking about that supposed Astro Train. I was looking at what else it might be. Remember how we saw what looked like tank treads on the side of the leg? Yep. Look at a picture of the G1 Diatlas toy. Turns into a space shuttle-like thing, wings on his back, and he has treads on the sides of his legs.
Ooh.
And he's a playset from Micromasters and stuff to interact with, which, along with the Titan Wars theme.
Well, you shared this in the chat?
Well, here, I'll do a screen share real quick.
Yeah, screen share that for our viewers.
All right, let's make that the last thing we do, because we are getting a little bit long here, guys, and we've gone a little bit off track.
Yeah, sorry.
We've covered what we needed to cover. And
he's got the trans here on the shuttle mode, and they end up over here on the sides of the legs, wings. I don't know why my screen keeps jumping around like that, but I knew it looked like some Japanese Transformer more than it did Astro Train. I was just having trouble placing which one.
Yeah, they're trying to do a Diatlas.
Yeah, it looks more like Diatlas than Astro Train.
Definitely.
That's the funny thing. I doubt we're going to get anything that's like a Sonic Bomber or Road Fire or anything here in the future, unless they decide to do all the obscure stuff and that's Takara. Rick was saying.
The thing about Diatlas is, now that I think about it, he has been in the comics. So... Yeah. You know, other guys, Sonic Bomber, Roadfire, those guys haven't been in the comics.
Freaking Monstructor! Why have we not got that toy yet?
Well, guys.
Monstructor and the Terracons are guys we probably won't get.
Yeah. Well, guys, I believe we've kind of beat the Tokyo Toy Show and BotCon reveals into the ground. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Hopefully, you enjoyed our little pick apart here of all the big things. And if you have any addition to what we have talked about, or even what we didn't talk about, what we didn't cover, if you feel free to post on Facebook or tweet us at TFYOP and say, "Hey guys, you forgot this," as a reveal. We may cover it next week or down the road. And we'd love to hear from you and hear your comments. You can, like I said, tweet us at TFYLP, post them on our Facebook group, or email them to podcast@TFYLP.com. We'll check those out. Well, for Headmaster Don, Rick Alvarez, Moroni Prime, Insane Galvatron, Plasticon, and the ever-watching Michael Swift, we will see you next time on TFYLP.
That's a threat, not a problem.
See you guys.
Peace later. Out. Take care, guys.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.